by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the
I'm on the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, the Ooze.
20 minutes, that door of the day, on the Ooze, spread out.
On the Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
They kind of missed the whole point.
To really happen, to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's the Ooze Luminous Edition Tuesday night, and we made it onto the air. I'm not sure what happened. Last week at the end of the show, last Tuesday at the end of the show, I went ahead and scheduled this episode, thinking that I was just, getting a little work ahead of time out of the way and that everything would be cool. And, you know, when I would come in to do the show tonight, everything would be ready to go. Well, I roll in to get the show set up, and I open up the studio, and it doesn't show the show even being scheduled. And I'm kind of freaking out because I got, you know, I rolled in at the last minute. I got like, 5 minutes to go, basically. And I know I put the show in, but I'm not sure what happened. So I was fiddling around with it, trying to figure out why I couldn't schedule a show and everything. And then it occurred to me that, well, I'm in Central Standard Time. The show is programmed in Eastern Standard Time. And I went ahead and got all that taken care of. But by the time I got everything figured out, I had already missed my 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock time slot. So we're starting the show a half an hour early, and it appears that the show actually aired at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, nothing but dead air, so that was kind of interesting. And I got a couple callers on hold already, so I'm surprised. I'm not sure what we're going to be calling, what you're calling in about already, because I haven't even talked about what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to be talking about Halloween. Halloween's a couple weeks away. It's probably one of my favorite holidays, and I'm going to be going on about Halloween and just some different things that are going on, talking about the tradition and everything, and some of the things that are happening in our society, some of the efforts, if you will, to kind of take away from that whole process. So that's going to be the topic tonight, and I will be bringing callers on because it's nice. We have callers on the Luminous Edition, so I don't want to miss out on that opportunity to have some folks actually speak on the air. But I am going to kind of ramble on a little bit about Halloween, and we'll get into all that. So again, Halloween's coming up, October 31st, and I'm not going to go into the whole history of the holiday or anything like that. Anybody that listens to the show probably has a solid grasp on what Halloween is about. It's a very American tradition anymore. It's celebrated in Ireland and Scotland pretty heavily, but in the rest of Europe, and having lived in Europe, I can tell you this firsthand, most people don't even acknowledge the holiday, acknowledge the tradition. So It's something that we do here in the United States, and I think it's as far as our tradition is concerned, as far as the things we do here, it's a very American holiday. And what I mean by that is Halloween, especially here in the U.S., has been a time of extravagance. We go out of our way to wear clothes that we would never wear any other time of the year, at least most of us. I mean, I wear some of my shit all year long. We have costumes and jewelry and decorations, everything else that are appropriate to no other holiday, appropriate to no other time of the year. So it means shelling out. It means being a little bit extravagant with your money. And that seems to be an American thing. It would almost be considered wasteful or frivolous in other areas of the world, which is, it's accurate. It's true. But it's also a tribute to just how we roll here in the United States, I guess. That may not be a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just kind of the way it is. Other cultures and everything else, they have similar holidays and everything, but I don't think they take it to the extent, at least as far as the commercial part of it's concerned. In other cultures, it is more religious. It's more ritualized. That's the kind of thing that's going on. So here in the United States, we have a very American version of this holiday. And it is a celebration of demonic forces. It is a celebration of what Jung would call the shadow. It's a celebration of our animalistic side, the side that we have to rein in on a daily basis the rest of the year, or that we're encouraged to rein in on a daily basis the rest of the year. And it's something that this is something that I've always pushed with my Halloween celebrations, especially as an adult. That, you know, I've always tried to make it, as far as the adults were concerned, more about just taking the kids out, you know, door to door, trick-or-treating, getting candy and things like that. I've always tried to express this idea that, you know, as a person, you need to kind of get out of your shell and do something crazy on Halloween. It's the one day of the year where it's acceptable to, you know, put on a mask that expresses who you are on the inside and go out into the world and challenge the people around you. You know, challenge the people around you to do the same thing you're doing. Challenge the people around you to express themselves. You know, get into a fight. You know, fuck two or three women. You know, this is what that night's for. Get just drunk off your ass and be out in public. You know, just having a good time. This is what this holiday is for. And this has been the tradition of, you know, this thing since its inception here in the United States, since it's really kicked off here back with the in our agricultural era, with the fall festival and everything else. It was meant, you know, you got these, you know, Puritan, you know, based or Puritan founded colonies and societies and cultures and communities and everything that were, you know, cutting loose. That during the masquerade balls and everything else, it was okay to, you know, tease and titillate and do little kinky shit out on the dance floor because you're wearing a mask, so nobody could say for sure it was you. So you couldn't be punished for whatever acts of passion that you committed in public. And there's other things going on. There's other traditions, and what I'm kind of I'm frustrated about this every year, and it's more and more frustrating every year because it seems to increase in degrees every year. Is the effort in our society to kind of neutralize this tradition, neutralize this aspect of our social selves, the effort to take away Halloween from, you know, those of us who celebrate it. And it's, you know, for a number of different reasons, for, you know, political reasons, social reasons, religious reasons, and we'll get all into that. But it's going away. It's kind of right alongside the whole feminization of the males in our society, or the lack of personal responsibility that seems to be evident in our society. Halloween is one of those holidays that kind of represents all that in my mind, as people are trying to erode that, because it is. It's an expression of individualism. It's an expression of yourself and being boisterous, being out there and, you know, doing what you want to do instead of what you're told to do. One day of the year where it's socially acceptable to break the norms, to fight, you know, to go against the patterns, to go against the grain, that kind of thing. So that's what Halloween is to me. Now, I've got Rotten Biohazard on the line. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I didn't know if you expected me to bring you on the air immediately or what.
I wasn't sure. It's your show, man. I wasn't sure.
It's cool. So we've got another caller on the line. 615 is the area code. The way this show works, I'm not sure if we're going to be bringing anybody else on the line. Not really yet to take questions. If you want to hop in the chat room and kind of give me an idea of what you're calling in about, or if you're just calling in to listen, then hang tight because I'll spend an hour talking your ear off. So what do you think, man? I mean, the Halloween holiday. What's your vibe on the whole thing? What's your take on that?
Hey, I love it, man. Except for the fact that it has within, I'd say, the last maybe 5-8 years, the consumerism has tried to perhaps sterilize it, as is, of course, the same with most holidays we have nowadays. It's
right,
no
right.
longer,
I agree with that totally, but I think it's the corporations bowing to certain political and you know, religious pressures. There's this movement to neutralize Halloween, and it comes from all directions, it seems like. Go ahead.
I'm more apt to say it's religious, especially with how many different religions we have now in this country. I mean, hell, 10 years ago, you'd say Merry Christmas. Now you'd say Happy Holidays. I mean, fuck, come on.
Well, and it's true. It's true that especially the Christian right, has been very vocal in their opposition to the Halloween holiday. But they've been that way for years. I see another angle coming from the left, that here you have this holiday that is in and of itself an expression of individualism. You know, you get a little crazy, you do what you want, you break the rules, this is the spirit of the holiday, in my opinion. So I see certain pressures to kind of, we don't want to offend anybody, so your expression of individualism, you can't do that. We can't have a holiday that celebrates individualism. Let's have a holiday that celebrates community.
It has to be everyone's has the same costume. Nobody can be different. You have to be robots and mechanical the whole night.
Right, right. And it's unfortunate, especially here in the U.S., to see this kind of thing. And I'm glad to see that so many adults are reclaiming this holiday, basically. That so many adults are going, this isn't a holiday for kids. Kids shouldn't be out. They should be able. When I was a kid, you went door to door on your own. You took off as soon as the sun was down, and your parents didn't see you until the next morning. And you went with as much candy as you could possibly haul in.
And you went with a nice big white pillowcase door to door. You always skipped the house. You always knew one house that would give you apples. You always skipped that house. Yeah.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, by the time I was 12 years old doing this, I had two or three different costumes. It was, and if you were the kid, if you were the family passing out apples or whatever, we're going to pass out healthy treats. You're expected to keep eating eggs because there's
exactly.
Or treats. And so if you're not passing out treats, well, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be some vandalism. And the older we got, the more hardcore it got. That's part of the tradition too. And that's part of something that I see also going away, or it's kind of morphed into something else. And I'll be getting into all that. And it's funny that this is an outgrowth of a oppressive religion. The holiday, what's that?
It's been like that for a lot of years, though. Something new, really.
Right, right. Well, yeah. It's been Halloween's been around for forever, and it's a response to All Saints Day or All Hallows Day. The very next day, November 1st, is the actual holiday. Halloween is the eve of All Hallows Day, just like Christmas Eve is the eve of Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a pagan idea that whenever you have an expression of one type of energy, positive or negative, you have to have an equal expression will occur to balance it out. So that's how this holiday kind of got going. And this, it's the traditional, the Gaelic, the Samhain kind of thing, the summer's end holiday and everything else. There's a lot of other shit going on in it, but really our embracing it is, it's almost like Mardi Gras before Lent, or I'm trying to think of some other days.
Stuff with a less drinking intent.
Right, right. Well, in Germany they have this thing called Bashing. You spend your whole year basically in a button-down shirt, wearing a tie and everything else. One day a year to express yourself isn't asking too much, I think. That's how this holiday has kind of grown. And it used to be that along with the trick-or-treating, along with kind of the benign part of it, there was definitely a dark side to it. There were, bonfires. There were rituals. There were, expressions to dark gods. There was, it was a time for you to lose your mind. It was a time for you to, to let the monsters inside of you out. And what you talked about with the corporate kind of cleansing of the holiday, the kind of trying to eliminate the darker aspects of it, the holiday itself, Halloween, has had to have a similar outbreak, just like, All Hallows Day had to have, Halloween as a reverse expression. Well, now that Halloween's being cleaned up, the reverse expression of Halloween has become Devil's Night on October 30th.
Yep.
And you see the way this works is that the more oppressive the forces get, Halloween was, it's trick-or-treating, some houses get egged, some houses get pee-peed, there might be some spray painting or some crazy shit, there might be a paper bag full of dog shit lit on fire and so forth. That's really as bad as it got. okay?
Something that could be cleaned up easily, you know? Yeah.
Right, right. But when you started taking that away, when society got a little bit ridiculous with their trying to rein that in, well, then what happened? People started burning buildings down.
Yep.
You know, arson became the new thing, you know? So it's just, it seems to me that the greater the effort that these different groups, enforce to try to, you know, restrict this expression, the worse this kind of thing is going to get. And Devil's Night is funny. When we talk about Devil's Night or Hell's Night or Mischief Night or whatever you want to call it, depending on what area of the country you're in, that whole thing started in Detroit back in the 70s, and it continued on through the 90s. And it was just, you know, things are rough in Detroit, man, and it's been rough there for a long time. So these people, you know, feeling the oppression that we're talking about, they cut loose even further. And now it's kind of spread out to different places. And in Detroit, what they've done is they've turned October 30th into Angel Night, and a bunch of people take to the streets, basically, to guard and protect their own shit, which is a wise move if you think about it. But, you know, the whole thing has moved out into other parts of the country. And I remember for years, like, even here in Austin, we'll hear about a fire or some crazy shit going down here in Austin in the local news, but they make sure, they're very careful not to connect the dots. Not to point out that it's October 30th,
Halloween,
and it seems it seems like a devil's night kind of thing, because they definitely don't want this thing to spread. And I'm thinking, with the Occupy movement shit going on and everything else, maybe not this year, okay? Because this year they're trying to, you know, fly right and keep everybody on their good side. But if this thing continues the way things are going next year, I imagine that Devil's Night is going to be hardcore, and it's going to be all over the fucking place.
Depends on if the group tries to, send out certain messages about, you know, Devil's Night on the 30th for next year, basically. This year, though, I don't think it'll amount to that much, at least not in regards to the Occupy movement, things like that.
Right, yeah, I don't think they're going to, it's, and I'm not saying that, I haven't had my ear to the ground. I'm not talking to the Occupy movement. I'm not suggesting that this is anything that's been said. I'm just saying that given the nature of the activities on Devil's Night and the nature of the social discourse that's going on, I don't think this year, just like you're saying, I don't think this year is going to be the year that you see that kind of thing go down. But I think next year and years to follow, it just will continue to escalate. And it might not be just Devil's Night. It might not be the 30th. It might be, you know, the week in advance or whatever. It might get more and more ridiculous.
Wouldn't it also cause a negative effect to the Halloween season as well, in causing, okay, you're having all this, you know, these fires, all of these problems a few days in advance for Halloween. That's going to kind of cause, you know, Halloween to grinch out a lot altogether. It's going to have a negative effect on the whole idea of Halloween being a form of expression of individualism.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, this is what you see. It's a Discordian idea, and I've talked about it in other shows, that the greater the force, whatever side of the coin you're on, whether it's the force of chaos or force of order, the greater the force applied, the greater the resistance that's meant to match it. And it just continues to escalate. And I think that's what I see, you know, going on, you know, with this kind of thing. I mean, look how it went. You know, we had this holy day, and eventually our culture developed, you know, an alternative Halloween, embraced that, and then, you know, when that started to get cleansed, well, then we had Devil's Night. So I think it's going to continue to escalate, and it's a lot to do with some of these nut jobs that are out there, you know, going on and doing their own thing as far as Halloween. And I say nut jobs because I think they're crazy. I think they're nuts. You know, and it's, so I am slurring them. I am slandering them by saying that they're crazy.
Define nut job though. Define it though.
Yeah. Define that job.
Yes.
Well, in this particular instance, somebody that disagrees with me. I'm saying these are people that they have a certain set of values, and instead of just living by their values and celebrating their values on their own, they insist on enforcing those values on other people.
Oh.
Whether we want it or not. So
sounds like a lot of people in, yeah.
Right. I'd say it's kind of tongue in. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it sounds like most of the religious Reich.
Right, right. And I say it kind of tongue in cheek. But when you read these people's material on, you know, what it is they got going on and what have you, you'll see it's a little bit hokey, it's a little bit off. And I'm specifically talking about this Jesus Ween movement. This thing kicked off in 2002, but it actually started to get some press this year.
I can honestly say, man, I've never heard of that.
Right, right. It's because it's really starting to pick up this year. I mean, this year I think was their big campaign, their big push. Back in 2002, I guess some pastor somewhere ordered a set of Bibles, like 300 Bibles. He had some mission he was going to go on. He felt the need to purchase 300 different Bibles. And he had these Bibles at his house, and he got the idea in his head. And when you read the website, they talk about it, and I'm sorry, I don't have the website URL in front of me, so just Google Jesus Ween if you're really curious about this. But he gets these things, he says he has some divine inspiration. So he has, I don't know, a little bit of a gas from the dinner the day of or day before or whatever, something. Something moved him to pass out Bibles to the trick-or-treaters instead of candy. Okay. So
that could have gone over well, man.
Now, I'm thinking about how some of these kids are walking around with paper bags or plastic bags that are already loaded to bear. So you drop yourself the King James Version into one of these bags and just punch a hole right through the bottom of something's bag, right? So, but this is what he did. He says basically he passed out like 30 different Bibles that night, okay? And this is 2002. Had it been 1979 when I was out trick-or-treating, he would not have continued to do it because the damage to his house that would have been done. The weekend he would have to have spent cleaning his yard up from just the absolute destruction that would have been brought down on his house. He wouldn't suggest it to anybody. He's like, those kids are crazy. They don't even mention God on Halloween. That just doesn't work. But
and of course, people these days, the kids are more tame these days too. Though, I mean, if you notice that, the kids don't generally do that much anymore. It's gone really downhill in that respect as well.
Well, it's because of the grip that people have on this whole Halloween thing. It used to be that your parents didn't go with you trick or treating if you were a certain age, and now, I mean, as a parent, you'd be crazy to let your kid walk the streets by themselves.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of really scary people on the streets these days. There's a lot of really odd people. There's a lot of really strange people, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, odd people quick to invite some 12-year-old girl in a sexy costume into their house. Oh, come in here. The good candy's in here. Yeah, you don't need that shit. I've got daughters, man. That doesn't work at all. But it used to be, I mean, so you've got these kids, right, just like you're saying, these kids don't want to get in trouble for doing the shit that, I mean, 10, 20 years ago, cops would have written it off as, you know, it's just Halloween. You got your house got TP, but you know what? You should have passed out some candy, jackass. You know, that's what cops would have said back in the 80s. All right. But now they're running prints and they're arresting these little monsters, you know, for just doing what comes natural on Halloween. So these people passing out these Bibles, they turned it into a movement. They turned it into a mission. And their mission is to basically, this is their whole thing, is to scrub Halloween from our culture. They want to turn the 31st into World Evangelism Day.
Oh, fuck me.
That it won't even appear on the calendars anymore. Halloween won't even be there anymore. It'll be World Evangelism Day. That God is going to take the day back. And
God has Christmas and Easter. Let us have fucking Halloween, okay? He gets two goddamn days out of the year. Let us have one.
Right. It makes sense, I guess, from their perspective, because just like the other major Abrahamic religions, it's convert or destroy. which, you know, when you look at the teachings of their of the guy that they talk about, you know, that's not what he was about. You know, that's not what his deal was. But for them, it's convert or destroy. But I think, you know, it's you've got enough people with enough sense, maybe not a lot of sense, but enough sense that to resist this kind of thing. But it is. It's gaining traction. And that's what I find frightening, is that it's picking up momentum. It's the same as these, I mean, we don't have Halloween in schools anymore. We've got harvest festivals or fall festivals. I mean, what the fuck is a harvest festival? When's the last time you went out and picked some corn on your own or anything like that? Who does that shit anymore?
I remember even back when I was a kid, man, going to school dressed up in your costume. You know, you won a prize if your costume was the best, you know, all that kind of stuff, man. Remember that from when I was a kid.
Right.
Shit.
Right. Now, my 6-year-old is going to school in costume, I believe, Friday. But she's going as a pirate. And she was told by her school that that was the theme for the day.
Pirate,
so
really?
The school sets the tone. So pirate was safe enough. you know, of course, you know, here we've got her all, you know, we're going to, you know, she's going to have the eye patch and the little plastic sword and, you know, she's a little buccaneer. So she'll be all about it. But it isn't monsters. It isn't demons. It isn't. What is the tradition? What's the, you know, what's the normal, the thing you do on Halloween? You be a monster. You express that part of yourself. That shadow of self is what you do. And she isn't allowed to do it. Now, my 6-year-old happens to be very girly, so.
Oh, that helps a lot.
It's not like she necessarily wants to do all that. But then I've got a 17-year-old, and she's all about Halloween. She's like me. It's horror movies and haunted castles and stuff like that. As a matter of fact, I did a blog, the Creepshow blog, of the House of Torments and her being 17 and how it was a big deal to get out there and, you know, do this one last time before, you know, next year when she's out with her friends and everything else, college friends or shit like that, and then, you know, just doesn't want to deal with dad anymore. But, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to look to the corporate haunted house kind of thing, spook house kind of thing, to uphold those traditions, to maintain that kind of thing. And how long will it be before they're closed down? Before they're considered,
you know,
just too... Go ahead.
Around here, they're basically starting to phase them out already. When I was a kid, shit, you had your options of 10 different haunted hay rides, multiple different haunted houses, and now it's pretty much you have maybe 1, 2, 3 options within a 50-mile radius.
Right. And it's because of the the spook house thing used to be also put on by local charities or local groups, and now they're being bought out by different corporations. But it's still a good way to make money, but it's social pressure. You know, we don't know who you're hiring for these actors. So you're going to put a bunch of strange guys in costumes in rooms with children, and they're going to reach out and touch people. They're going to reach out and grab people. Who knows? And that's an environment that, you know, no city politician wants to deal with. So that's why it's being driven away. And what's funny is that, you know, not more than – and it probably still goes on, but it seems like not more than 5 or 10 years ago, the Christians were getting into creating haunted houses.
Yes.
That they had the houses where you got to come in and you would see an abortion being enacted. You would see – they had a family sitting around who believed in evolution, and grandpa's at the table, and there's a guy in a gorilla suit, and he tears up a baby, and just all kinds of just insane kind of stuff. I wanted to see one of those haunted houses.
I went to one of those, man, back when I was, like, in my earlier days. It would have been before I was in my teens, actually, a church. They had it in the basement all set up. It was a small kind of maze that they had set up with sheep. You know, like those, basically you had the tubing and the sheets over the tubing and shit. You walk through that and it was
right
a bunch of different crap like that. Really small thing. You paid like maybe $2-3 to get in. It's like, fuck you.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
I could see that shit scarred somebody for life.
I was only 9, 10, I guess it was, around that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I happened to be invited by family to go to that church for that little event, and you know, at that age, kind of can't exactly resist family too much, can you?
Right, right. Yeah, you endure anything.
Yeah.
It's a bandit. Yeah. So, right on, right on. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes into the show already. I wanted to take a quick minute just to mention some of the, this is what I try to do at the bottom of the hour, just mention some of the stuff that supports the Ooze, Creative Oddity Studios, www.creativeodditystudios.com. If you haven't checked out that website yet, it's artwork by myself and T.C. Downey and Vanessa Lee, merchandise like stickers, T-shirts, skateboards, just a bunch of different stuff. And our focus lately has been our blog. So we're writing about a bunch of different topics. Eminentmind.info is one of the blogs that we got going on. A lot of philosophy, a lot of things to talk about on Outbreak on Sundays. You can check that out there. So check that out, www.creativeeyestudios.com. Buy a sticker. Help support the Ooze because that money goes into our pockets and then pays for stuff like this. Satanic International Network. If you haven't checked out Satanic International Network yet, Rotten Biohazard and I are members of, we're participants, or don't really have a membership, we're participants in that forum. Every kind of forum you can imagine is like Facebook for Satanists, basically. You got forums, you got a wall, you drop in videos, you got a live chat with videos and everything else, and just a bunch of interesting people, very dynamic forum because there's always new people coming in, always different people going out, and all these different ideas being expressed. And if you want to test your ideas, if you want to see whether what you think or what you've got going on in your head has any merit whatsoever, just bring it up in a blog at the Satanic International Network, and the idea will be challenged. There will be people who will debate you, and they will debate you in a sensible manner, along with, the insensible or unsensible or insensitive. So be prepared for that. But definitely check that out because we're a big fan of them and they're a big fan of the Ooze, so we appreciate what they got going on there. There's a show, I want to say it's Thursday night. It's the Prima Mano. It's T.C. Downey just talking about different topics that come to his mind. It's a way for him to just kind of express himself, and he's the big cheese around here, the Ooze. This is his baby, so check that out Friday. And unfortunately, I don't have the times because with the show screw up tonight, I didn't have time to write anything down. But check out the schedule. The scheduled shows are all scheduled in there. Friday, you got Wicked Pup and Female Satan and Orgasmic Karmatic.
And myself, actually.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to be there too? Okay.
Yep, I'm on that show as well.
All right, cool. And check out that show. Were you on last Friday?
Yeah, it was actually.
Okay, yeah. The last Friday show was just awesome. If you haven't checked out the archive of that show, if you weren't there to catch it live, that show, the archive show, was amazing. I mean, these guys have their nose to the ground as far as political movements, as far as what's going on that's fucked up in our society, and they are, expressing it, letting you know in no uncertain terms exactly, what they think. So it's a very cool show. Is there a name for that show for the Friday episode?
Occupy the Ooze, or Ooze Occupy
the Ooze. Occupy the Ooze, that's right. So I saw T.C., that it's changed every once in a while, so I've seen T.C.'s put it out there. So Occupy the Ooze, and it's the edge, in my opinion, of the Occupy movement, the sharp edge of the Occupy movement. I went to the Occupy movement here in Austin, Texas, and it seemed kind of namby-pamby. Nobody knew exactly what was going on. And I understand it's all part of the process. But these guys kind of call it like it is and actually, I think, see what's going on. So definitely check that out. And then, of course, Sundays, the old men of the Ooze, Jason Sorrell, myself, T.C. Downey, we get on and we go off for 2 hours about whatever. And usually it's about what we talk about on Eminent Mind, about taking action, about kind of breaking away from the system, about keeping your mind right and looking at things and focusing things on things. And we've kind of it's a marathon, man, to try to do a 2 hour show. So definitely check that out. And we got a guy who keeps popping in 615 area code. And unfortunately, TC recognizes these phone numbers. I do not. He's usually up on this. I don't know if it's Zach calling in and just listening or what. Normally he logs into the chat room, though, and if he wants to talk, he'll let somebody know. If I get in the mood to take calls here in the next half hour, I will. If he pops back in, there he is. I think I'm going to take this call, man. So let me go ahead and bring this guy on the show. He's been on hold for like 30 minutes. So
go ahead, man.
You're on the Ooze. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, it's FS. You're talking about Halloween, so I was calling in. It's like my favorite holiday. It's a big tradition in my family.
My bad. I kept looking for something in the chat room to tell me what was going on.
Missed the show. Me and Beast have a show premiering tomorrow.
Oh, no shit.
We're gonna be going through the fourth wave.
That's right. Right on. So, yeah, and yep. I'm going to end up having a list written down. We're working on actually doing some sort of commercials to run, during the show or what have you. So that's going to be coming. We're talking about kind of the way the Halloween is being neutered. It's having its balls chopped off, basically. From where you're at?
For me, it's a weird thing because there have always been versions of the Jesus ween thing that I've seen even as a kid. You know, people handing out pamphlets for their church. I can remember distinctly one year some guy telling my sister and me that he would give us all the candy we could eat if we would take off our costumes and accept Jesus in our hearts. And I remember this.
Oh, that sounds so wrong.
Me and Chrissy me and my sister both went running to our mother and was like, we have to take our costumes off and come back so we can get all the candy we can eat from him. And my mom was like, why is that? And then we started telling her, and I remember it because she actually like cussed him out over it. She was so angry about it. But it's always been a big tradition. That stuff has always been prevalent here. To the point where it's relatively ridiculous, actually, because it's always been a real dichotomy, which is that you'll have people that go all out. I mean, they've probably spent thousands of dollars decorating their yards and stuff, and then you have the other people that refuse, and then you have the other group trying to convert you. So it always makes for a rather interesting Halloween when you're running around, especially in Tennessee, you get all different kinds that are, trying to promote their own little things here or there.
It's interesting that it's escalating, I think, that it's actually on the rise, that, it used to be when I was a kid, you might have that one family that passed out little flyers or those chick comics, that's all they pass out. Now when we're talking about passing out whole Bibles, now when it's a movement, it's funny, my brother lives in this town Monroeville, Indiana. They actually have, it's not just a trick-or-treating night for them. They have a parade and a concert for Halloween. The whole town gets involved. And last time I was up there, there was one family that passed out little Bible tracts instead of candy. And basically, the whole city just ostracized them. You just didn't go to their house. You just didn't even talk to them when they're at the bar the next day or whatever. Because it's a big deal. I mean, it's funny. It's a little farming community. There's like two different churches in this little tiny place for the maybe 100 people that live in the town. But Halloween, man, they go all out. The rest of the world or rest of the country, it seems to be people really pushing, especially from the Christian right and especially from the PC crowd, too. I hold them accountable, wanting to make sure that nobody's offended, nobody gets hurt, nobody gets upset. That's really taking the teeth away from Halloween.
Have these trunk or treats. Do they have that where y'all live, trunk or treats? They're held in church parking lots, and people give out candy from the trunk of their car in the church parking lot. Where my sister lives, like last year, she was taking her kids and she's knocking on every door, and she lives in a really small town in Kentucky, and there's nobody home. And she's like, what's going on? It's Halloween. Well, they started driving to go ahead a different street and start noticing everybody's at the churches sitting in their cars to give out candy from the trunks of their cars for this trunk or treat thing, and that's been around for a few years. I always refuse to go to them because I'm not doing that. But yeah, no, I find that one funny too, which is that you need to be on the church property for this. Apparently now, I don't know, somehow going to negate the evil of the day. I'm not really sure what the whole idea is here, because I don't know. I don't even understand why people would have a problem with it to begin with. It doesn't seem to me like, I don't know, at least for me with Halloween, it seems like it is a debauchery holiday, but it's been a children's holiday for so long that it just seems like it should sort of be, you know, let the children do their thing. Let it be secular. I mean, at this point, Easter and Christmas are pretty much secular in this country, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the whole thing about taking it all to the church. The issue I think they have there is that if they can bring you to the church, well, then they make the church the center of the community, okay? And that's what they're desperate
mm-hmm.
for, is the church being the center of the community. When it's not the church, when people just go out and go door-to-door and talk to their neighbors, even if it's just to say trick-or-treat, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, we passed our candy, you know, it's like, you know, oh, so where are you guys from, blah, blah, blah. We have a little conversation and everything else with the parents. It's the community getting
yep.
together on their own, without the church, without the community center or anything like that. And they don't want, you know, the forces that be, the powers that are, they don't want that. They don't want us, you know, getting to know our neighbors and organizing on our own or dealing with one another on a one-to-one basis. They would rather have some sort of middleman, you know, managing all that. So, yeah, I think that's what's going
yeah.
on there.
Well, Jason,
oh, yeah.
you forget one thing, though, man. The church back in the day
crap.
used to be center of the community anyways. But even then, Halloween was still a time when you went out. You were with your community. You were with your family. You all celebrated together. That was, you know,
yep.
not even really long ago, but even now. I mean, I don't know. Basically, what I'm trying to get at is, yes, okay, the church was center of the community at one time. That kind of shifted. And now it's kind of like the new renaissance, I guess. It's the
mm-hmm.
trying to get back to the old traditions.
Right.
Well,
right.
yeah, and there's a sense of desperation there that is obvious, in my opinion, and, you know, that it's, I mean, I know numbers are down across the board for churches, but it's turning almost to a I had a friend of mine the other day who's a Christian who said to me, she said, I'm just tired of all the pressure. She said, these people don't want me at church just on Sunday anymore. It has to be Wednesday night. And she said, they have stuff scheduled every single day, and if I don't show up, they're wondering why I'm not being involved enough. And she said, I'm committed to my faith, but at the same time, I don't want to be at church every day. She said, when did this whole thing start that, you know, this is supposed to be my entire life is supposed to be based around my church now?
Well, the tithing, I think they just had a report come out saying that tithing is at an all-time low. So God's having trouble coming up with the rent and the electric bill, apparently, and they're getting a little scared. So, it's an ugly time to be organizing an institution. So the more events they can have you involved in, the more tied they can have you to that building, the better off
mm-hmm.
they'll be.
Mhm. Oh, yeah, and the other thing I was going to say, too, you guys were talking about kids dressing up. My daughter got sent home last year for dressing up and going to school.
Oh, geez.
Well,
yeah.
What the hell did you go
yeah.
as?
Yeah. She went as a dark angel. She was a gothic angel for Halloween. Yeah. And this was a big bone of contention. We were all fallen angels of various sorts, whether it was demons or, in her case, it was like a black actual angel costume. But, yeah, no, we were all fallen angels last year. I was Lilith. I had that picture posted a while ago, actually. But, no, I also, I make all their costumes, and I force everybody to dress up, even my husband, even though he kind of looks at me like it's lame and stupid. I'm like, no, we have to dress up, and we have a family theme every year.
Hmm. Well, that's
yep.
cool that
yeah.
you have that tradition. I think that's important for families. something I've been advocating is making sure that Halloween was considered an adult holiday. That you went out, if you had kids, you went out and you did your thing with the kids. But there, I mean, there has to be a party every year. There has to be something going on every year. This year, one of my friend's birthdays is on the 29th, so we've kind of merged his whole birthday into the Halloween thing, and we're doing this big to-do downtown in Austin. Austin on 6th Street does a big thing every year, and I'm not sure when they're going to be doing it because Halloween falls on a Monday, so I'm expecting Saturday night to be just crazy, which hopefully that'll be the case. But what's the craziest thing you've seen at a Halloween party?
Seen at one? Oh, I don't know. I've been to many and I've felt many. I've seen many strange things at a Halloween party. Halloween's one of those days where you get to find out who people really are, I think.
Right. So, I've seen some. I mean, we had a Halloween party in 98. Just aging myself here. I lived in a party house. So there was always some shit going on the weekends. It was three guys. It was my aunt's house. So it was two bedrooms, a sunroom that we converted into a bedroom, and then the basement was a furnished basement. So there was, you know, all kinds of rooms for people to be in. And we decided to have a party in 98. And what we were going to do is we were only inviting 30 people, okay? And the deal was with the invitation that you would get invited, and you had to invite somebody of the opposite sex. Okay. But then that person, and you had to go, this is who I'm inviting, and here's their address, or here's their phone number, or whatever. That person got an invitation in the mail from us, and they had to invite somebody of the opposite sex. So you can invite your girlfriend, but she's got to invite some guy. You're a girl. You can invite your boyfriend, but he's got to invite some girl. Okay. So there needed to be, you know, enough, you know, available men and women to make it interesting. It was ridiculous. I mean, you know, like I said, we started out with 30 invitations. I think we had 200 people rotated in and out of our house that night. I kid you not. Everybody bringing bottles of alcohol. Some chick throws herself down the stairs in an argument with her boyfriend. We did a thing where we had a CD carousel, so we would play, you know, this is a long time ago, so we would play songs and rant. But there were like three or four people that actually had access to the CD player. And every time Black Flag's Louie Louie played over the stereo system, everybody was supposed to exit the house out the back door and run in the front door. Okay, so a Chinese fire drill, basically. Every time Louie Louie played from Black Flag. And the first four guys to get in the door were going to grab Fun Noodles and beat the last person that came through the door. All right? Some of my idiot friends took that task a little seriously. I mean, they were bouncing off of fences and, you know, jumping over shit, trying to be the first four to get in there to get these Fun Noodles. And then we ended the party when they proceeded to beat the shit out of somebody with a Fun Noodle. All right, they just clobbered this kid. I mean, almost knocked him out. And it was just ridiculous. So the whole night was, we had a girl throwing up so much that she passed out. The whole thing was, you know, bitch, if you fucking die on my floor, I will kill you. She was that drunk. And just, you know, where are we going to bury her was part of the conversation. It was that kind of thing. So they still, from what I understand, my friends back up in Indiana still talk about the party in 98, you know, where, you know, were you at the party for in 98? I almost died, that kind of shit. So that's the kind of thing I like to see happen on Halloween.
Remember parties, man, to where in the morning you take whoever the hell was left, passed out, you attach a note to them, take them to the hospital, drop them off out front, and drive away.
That's what Halloween's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be, you're testing your limits, you know. It's, you know, let's talk about being near death. That's what, you know, take some risks, get out there and do some crazy shit. Yeah, geez, the amount of brain cells I've killed on a Halloween, that's pretty bad. My girlfriend is going to be 8 years this Halloween now. We got together at a Halloween party. So this Halloween also happens to be our anniversary of sorts. So
congrats.
Yeah, 8 years, man. 8 years. This is the longest relationship I've ever been in. And usually it's my fault. So,
we tend to start the day with the focus on the kids, and then I always have a Halloween party at night. But, like, that was one of my things I was so divided about the gathering is because, like, it's known. Everybody knows that about me. Like, Halloween is you want to be at my house on Halloween because we always have a party, not just for the kids, but then we also have one for the adults later. I normally end the kid party early if I can, then take kids trick-or-treating and then come back. It's actually a rather exhausting day, but it's worth it because, I mean, the kids always have a blast, and, you know, we do too, but it's funny because my husband isn't big on Halloween, actually. His parents weren't really big on it. He dressed as a surgeon every year because his mother was a nurse every year.
Right on.
Not an undead surgeon or anything else. She just picked up extra scrubs and dressed them in there. So he doesn't like Halloween much. So it's always funny because, like, I force him to dress up. I force him to do makeup. I force the whole thing. But, yeah, no, I'm a big advocate of celebrating Halloween because I'm afraid that if people don't really embrace it, it will go away, you know. And there
right.
is a slightly lackadaisical attitude that, oh, well, Halloween will always be there. It won't if we fight for it. It won't if we don't do anything about it, you know. I mean, like, I read about that at Jesus Wing Movement. I actually wrote a blog where some guy was explaining the best way to get enough Bibles to hand out was to go to a dollar store once a week and buy a Bible. And you got 52 Bibles by the end of the year to hand out to kids.
Oh, geez.
No, you can't do this. And there's a Jesus candy coming out. I don't know if y'all have heard about that. Have y'all heard about that?
But Jesus candy?
No,
you mean crosses aren't enough on Easter?
Well, it's going to be candy corn, but it's got Bible verses on the back.
Yes, I have heard about that. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's called a Jesus seeds. That's what it's called, yeah.
That's what it is,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why. It's exactly why those of us who grew up, you know, 20 years ago or 10 years ago, that recall what Halloween was about. I mean, my dad used to have the Halloween parties, the insane parties. You guys know what a hairy buffalo is?
No.
I'm sure there's another name for it now. Basically, you get a 32-gallon garbage can, and you put fruit punch, high C or whatever, into it, and then everybody that shows up brings a bottle of clear alcohol. It doesn't matter what it is, and you dump it into the fruit punch, and you cut up pieces of fruit in it. That's a hairy buffalo. That drink is, you know, that's the party drink. And the cake. And I learned this as a child. You know, yeah, I remember, you know, being 7, 8 years old, asking my dad, are we going to have a hairy buffalo party for Halloween this year? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, brownies that I was not allowed to eat, that kind of thing. It was, you know, it was awesome. You know, the shit that you saw, you know, and it's where I learned my appreciation for the idea of Halloween being a time for adults to express themselves. And you have, you know, you take the kids trick-or-treating, you get them taken care of. And then you just cut loose. It should be a good time. And that's the only way we're going to preserve this holiday, I think, especially as more and more people take steps to pass out Jesus candy and pass out Bibles. Man, I hope, you know, I hope, taking my kid trick-or-treating this year, somebody puts a Bible in her bag. Burn ban or not, I will light the fucking thing on fire right there on the sidewalk. For them to watch.
Oh, hell yeah. Just
like, here you
I've
go.
Had people get offended. I've had people
What's
get
that?
Offended because I allowed my kids to dress up as stuff that was not considered politically correct. I had that, my son was 5 and he wanted to be a zombie. I let him be a zombie. I had people saying things to me like, why would you let a child so little be something so evil? I was like, are you kidding me? Was he supposed to be a puppy this year? I mean, he wanted to be a zombie. He saw a thriller. He wanted to be that. I dressed him up as that. And, you know, and it's actually not the first time. Last year I got flack from a woman stopped me on the street because I had the littlest two dressed up like demons. You know, like I said, we were all falling in. Some woman stopped me and was like, how can you dress your kids like demons on Halloween? And I said, because it's Halloween.
Right, you just said it.
Yeah.
How can you dress your kids like demons on Halloween? You just answered your own question. It's Halloween. That's ridiculous. That's fucking ridiculous.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when you talk about the zombie thing, there are events here in Austin where you know, they have Zombie Day. They have Zombie
Walk.
Yeah,
Zombie
yeah,
Walk,
they have, when the anime conventions are here, one in the summer and one in the winter, they have a zombie theme event. So, yeah, to sit there and say, you just have to be some pious asshole, basically, to go, how can you do that? You know, I guess my response to that would be, well, how can you push your fucking beliefs on me? You know, who the fuck are you to ask me this, even ask me? Yeah. But I'm an asshole to people, so, yeah.
Well, it's every year, and I always encounter several houses where it's like, why are you giving this out, you know? And I haven't taken my kids, because, I mean, my oldest is 13, but he's older than me, and this is 9. But I've actually considered taking them TPing or something because I haven't done that yet. But, like, that's, like, a big no-no now. And, you know, like, we always did that when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I can remember buying the toilet paper, you know, with my mom. Like, that's how it was, you know?
Right.
Because, I mean, my mom would always take us because she wanted to play, too. So she had a ball, you know? She'd be out there toilet papering people with the other, you know, I remember that when I was 13. That's actually probably the wildest Halloween for me is that my mom and my dad and a bunch of kids from the neighborhood, we toilet papered and pegged somebody's car that nobody liked. We lived in an apartment complex, and it was, and I remember it so well because it was my own parents, like, get it on the hood, because sometimes that takes off the paint, you know, like that. That's the toilet paper on it after the egg is done. That way they get a real good mess, you know. Like, you know, and I really don't think that most people have really experienced that, and starting out, and it's a bad thing. I mean, like, my kids have a harvest festival at school. I'm just like, Oh, wait, and a happy house. Not a happy house. The happy house.
You know, this has to be a southern thing, man, because I've never experienced this kind of stuff here up north at all. We've never had a harvest fest or anything like that. It was Halloween at school. It was never anything like that. Even my sister is still in school. It was never like that.
I got an 11-year-old in the 6th grade right now, and they have had a harvest festival at her school for the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's got
to be so long as she can remember that back up in Indiana. You know what I say? You're right. You can't go out and teepee them now because it's a big no-no or whatever. But what you do is when you knock on the door and you have your little kids walk up and they go, trick-or-treat, that cute way that they go trick-or-treat, and the old lady, your old man goes, oh, here you go, and drops some Jesus candy in the bag or drops a little Bible verse or drops a Bible. You look in the bag and you look at them and go, you did hear them say trick-or-treat, right? You heard him say trick-or-treat. Well, yeah, and I gave him a treat. Did you now? And you step back and you take a picture of their house and go, we'll be back. Get off the street. Whether you're going back or not, let him sweat the whole night.
Yeah. I'll see
you
later.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And the thing that I think that so many people miss about it is because it's like you said earlier, it is a real community thing. I mean, everybody's on the street, and they're talking to each other, you know? And, I mean, like, it's probably the closest to community as a whole that you experience in today's culture, largely, because people just don't open their doors anymore or talk to people, you know? So, I mean, like, I always really like see that on Halloween. It always makes me really happy. And the fact that, you know, it's slowly being killed off to me is like, you know, you can't replace that. And it brings a community together every year, you know, even just for that one night. It happens.
Well,
Well, that's going to have to be the last on the Halloween show, at least for the Tuesday night show. I don't know if they'll be talking about another shows later on during the month. But we got about 10 seconds left, so I appreciate you guys calling in, man. You made it a really good show, so thank you for calling in, and that's it. We're out of here.
Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to the opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is the Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?